Because we can't predict the future, we often go back to the past for clues as to what might happen next. That's especially true in the case of revolutions, which by their nature are dangerously unpredictable. When it comes to the events in Egypt at the moment, there's a debate about whether it's more like Tehran in 1979, the revolution that brought Ayatollah Khomeini to power, or Berlin 1989, the symbolic end of the Cold War. The historian and political scientist Professor John Keane is the author of the massive The Life and Death of Democracy. I asked him to compare events in Cairo and Alexandria to those two historical turning points.
Much closer to Berlin 1989, what we're witnessing, first in Tunisia, now in Egypt, in the Yemen, with signs of disturbances in Jordan and in several other countries.
Syria.
Yes, is something anyway. Like a revolution. Not a revolution, but revolutions.
What's that mean?
Non-violent, radical reforms, calls for radical reform of the systems.
Ref being refuse?
No, as in reform and revolution combined. I say revolution, a term used often in the so-called Velvet Revolutions of the autumn of 1989 in Central Eastern Europe, because unlike the French Revolution, violence is anathema to millions of people, and the sense of self-discipline is astonishing. In Tahrir Square, we've all seen the images of people voluntarily queuing to enter the square to be checked for any weapons on their bodies. These revolutions resemble those of 1989. They're calls for dignity. They involve a politics of reducing fear. They are opposed to gerontocracy. The average age of statesmen, dictators in the Arab region at the moment is 73.
They seem to stay in power on an average 20 to 30 years.
Yes, Mubarak, Gaddafi, Ben Ali in Tunisia. The average age in Central Eastern Europe, by the way, was 74. So there is something like a gerontocracy. And it's not surprising that from below, the initial push for these revolutions has been young people. I think also they are revolutions in the sense that they call for no grand ideology. There is no grand narrative. Human rights. It's the right of association, free trade unions, free press, civil society. Al-Muchama, al-Madani is the Arabic term, much heard in the last month
Meaning?
And a half. It means that these demonstrations, the formation of self-governing associations, is designed to create a civil society that is non-violent and is a point of resistance against these police state dictatorships.
Isn't the lack of a single goal, or indeed a tightly controlled leadership, isn't that likely to weaken the movement?
We'll see about that. It is clear that both in Tunisia and in Egypt, there are now underway vigorous attempts to form some kind of bargaining process, some kind of mediation process that will produce a leadership.
I read an article a couple of days ago by an Italian journalist who said it would fail because it wasn't Leninist enough. So that's the 1917 revolution, by which he meant not ruthless enough.
Yes, and that's why the term revolution, which was coined in the autumn of 1989, is pertinent, because these events that we've seen during the past month or so are rejections of that Bolshevik notion of revolution, that Jacobin notion of revolution. The whole point is to dismantle dictatorships that are brutal, that are full of policing mechanisms of institutionalized violence. So in the first stage, the main task is to stake out public space, to occupy that public space, to call on millions of other citizens to actually lose their fear so that the reform negotiation process can begin.
All right.
That's the easy bit. The hard bit is the transition to democracy.
It is indeed. I wrote a column last week talking about the 1979 Iranian revolution and the way that it had been just like this one, supported right across all classes. It was originally going to be a secular revolution, and then it turned into a theocracy. Why would we believe that this won't happen there?
Because in the two cases, al-Nada, the Renaissance Party in Tunisia, led by Rashid Ghannouchi, and the Muslim Brotherhood, which has done well in elections in Egypt. In both cases, there has been a remarkable self-restraint strategy. And I think it's not simply tactical.
There was a degree of self-restraint in Iran until it all fell to pieces.
But there is no Khomeini. And more than that, I would say that there's been a learning process in the region that revolutions can devour their own children. There is an awareness that the main strategy is to set up checks and balances to prevent that kind of takeover. And I think that so far the statements of Muslim Brotherhood and al-Nada in Tunisia are confirmation of that point. I don't think there is any evidence that we're seeing and are likely to see a repeat of the 79 revolution in Iran. Although, of course, that is what is being said in Ahmadinejad's Iran, and that is what is being said in Israel, and some voices in the American administration fear exactly that. It's odd because the reality is otherwise.
John Keane, professor of politics at Sydney University and author of the book The Life and Death of Democracy. You can hear a longer version of that interview on our website from this evening.